And I want to thank you for being here, because I think there is not a greater need out there than for believers to be sharing their faith and learning how to do that. And every believer witness is a great plan to help us do that. So I want to thank you for your faithfulness today. We've gone through four sessions. On the first session, we talked about the problem of apathy. We talked about how hard it was that most people never share their faith. They might pray for the lost on occasion, but never share with the lost. To session two, we talked about what it means to be a witness, what it means to share your story. We learned that everyone has a story. There's not anyone that can say, any follower of Christ can say, well, that's not something I can do. In session three, we worked on writing our story, of putting your story into form so that you can share it. Everyone's got a story. There is no one that's got a story that is more powerful than someone else's, because it is filled with the gospel. And we're going to talk about that today. And then last Sunday, we talked about what it meant to defeat fear. Because we're all afraid of being rejected, or something's going to happen, or we're not going to do it right. And there are ways that we, as we looked at seven biblical principles that we could use to defeat our fear. And so now today we are moving on to session five. And we're going to talk today about honing that testimony. But before we do that, we have asked you, and I certainly hope that you have, to look for those opportunities to share your story with someone. You may have just asked someone at work that you could practice on, or maybe it was a family member, or God happened to give you an opportunity. But I want to take a moment today, and I want to ask someone just to stand where you are. And here's what I want you to tell us. I want you to tell us who you are, and then I want you to tell us, not necessarily your story, but in this part today, I want you to tell us where you were, how you got started, and what the result was, okay? I want a couple of people to share that. And so if wherever you are, just lift your hand or stand up where you are, and I will come to you, okay? Who wants to start? Someone that you shared your story this week, I want you to tell us where it was, how you got started, and what was the result of that. Someone who's going to share with us. All right, right here.
My name is Crystal Foster. And I want to tell a story about Bible school, okay. Last week. I helped get the kids off the buses for daycares. So we have about 500 children, more than that, who got off buses each day. And as they were getting off the buses, I saw some of the daycare workers getting off. And it just happened that some of my former students that I had taught years before were leaders in the daycares. So that gave me an opportunity later to go back to them. And I went to one young lady in particular, and I knew her background, knew her home situation, and I knew she wasn't raised in a Christian home, not been a believer, but I didn't know what had happened since I had taught her. And so it gave me a great chance to go and kind of pull her aside later and share my testimony. And she knew that from teaching. She knew that I was a Christian. But to talk with her about her background. And she has had three children, and so she is not in a Christian environment, does not go to church, and so it gave me a great opportunity to share my testimony again, and I'm following it up with her. Amen. And I'm following up with her encouraging her to get those children in church and to be in church as a family.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. What a great opportunity. We had a really great opportunity with some of our daycare workers with that. And one of the things I shared with them on that day was on that first day was that all of you've got something. Those folks, they have, like everybody else, they got something going on. So that's a great opportunity. Somebody else, one more. Yes, sir, right here.
I'm Charlie Harrington, this is my wife, Billy. We're just back from 2 weeks in Thailand, and we spent 10 days in a cultural tour, and on the way back to the Phuket, Bangkok airport, all we had heard for 2 weeks was Buddha, 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 Buddha. 95% of the population is Buddhist. And our tour guide was a Thailand native who Billy and I had the opportunity to share the gospel in the van ride back to the airport. Not only did we give him a New Testament and talk to him, the interesting thing was while he was sitting in the passenger side, the driver of the van, who could barely speak English, was spellbound by our testimony and how we were sharing the gospel with him. So Mr. Mack was the tour guide. I can't pronounce the driver's name, so if you could just pray for those two gentlemen, that'd be great.
So you had one guy you were sharing with and another guy that was listening in. Okay, so you were getting a two-for-one there. You got a two-for. Now, my question, Charlie, is you didn't count that as your two there. I hope you did that. Okay, all right, that's good. We don't want anybody cheating there on the number. Need to be two different things here. What a great thing it is to see that. Ladies and gentlemen, look for those opportunities. We're going to talk about that today. Well, look for that. Those opportunities come to you. They're going to come to you. You are prepared. You have the message. People are interested. And you can certainly make a difference. That can happen for every single person that is in here today. You don't have to be afraid of that. This is a little bit of a different thing for us because I'm not really preaching to you about this today. We're just walking through this together. How do we do this better together? This is something that is here for the body of Christ. So thank you for doing that. And I just want to encourage you to look for those opportunities this week. But we want to get better and better. So today, we're going to talk, first of all, several things about honing your testimony. Because you're going to use it in various places. I want you to turn with me in your notes there to page 2. And because you're going to have opportunities where you might have 30 minutes to share what God has done in your life. But you may not have 30 minutes, okay? You may get down and you only have 15 minutes or 10 minutes. Or perhaps it's 5 or you're in passing and the opportunity presents itself. You need to be ready to be able to share your story in whatever format God provides for you. Sometimes it is 30 seconds. Sometimes it's less than a minute. I was on a plane recently and had the opportunity to talk with a young man, and so we weren't able to talk for the flight. But this is the only time in my life. And I was complaining. When I got on the plane, I was on the last row. And it was a big plane, and I was already calculating how much longer it was going to take me to get off of that plane. And so I'm on the last row. There's only this young man's on the window seat on the row I own, so he is the only person in the whole plane that is behind me. And so we get to talking, and so When we land, we're going into that into the terminal, and it's the only time in my life I've ever wanted people to slow down because I needed more time. You have to take the opportunities that God gives to you. We weren't able to talk during the flight, but in those few moments, you take advantage of the opportunities that you have. So how do you hone down your personal story so that you can do? Well, you do the same thing we did a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to do that again. I want you to take your outline there, and I want you to look with me, first of all, at my life before I met Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you can never do this too much. You always need to know what is happening there. This is for places that you have somebody to talk with at work, around the water cooler. There is during a break. It's talking to someone at school. It's someone you'd run into in a waiting room and you strike up a conversation with them. And you need to be ready and know your details. The more you know the details, the more familiar you are with the details of your story, the better you can call upon those details to make a difference. And it needs to be something that you can do quickly. It's something that you can use, and the more we understand
those details, because it may be 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, it may be several minutes, but we need to be ready to do that. For instance, when I look at mine, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I had one younger sister, and we had a very stable home. My dad was a used car salesman, and he worked all the time. So he was not home a whole lot, but that became very normal for us. We were in church, but spiritually, I had more questions, even as a child, because I was looking for ways. It was very important to me to be accepted by those around me, and I thought that was a way that I could be accepted. That was what my life was like before I was a Christian. I was saved when I was 8 years old. That was what my life was like. That part is what my life was like before I was a believer. Now, folks, it doesn't matter what your story is. Your part there, as we said, may be a little bit longer. But what we're talking about here in your outline, you've got about six lines there. About six lines. There's not a lot of space. You're not writing a biography. You're not giving them the names of all your teachers growing up, or every place that you lived, or every phone number that you ever had. You are giving them a synopsis. It is very simple. It is very clear. It is something that's personal. Something like where you're from, what your family was like, something that you like to do, maybe a significant experience. And the longer that you live before you came to Christ, the more opportunities you have. Now, one's not better than the other, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But you need to know clearly what happened in my life. I was going to say what happened in my life. What was my life like before I met Jesus? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a couple of minutes. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes here, and I want you to write down. I want you to write down in that little space there, those six lines, just a synopsis of my life before I met Jesus. If you were going to say that to someone, you don't have to worry about this. It's not going to be published or anything like that. But it's a tool. I've done this a number of times. I've looked at it numerous times this week. So we're going to do this together. So I want you to take a couple of moments. You'll find it's easier. Just simply, what was my life like before I met Jesus? I want you to take about 2 minutes. To do that and write it in those six lines, and I want you to begin to do that right now, okay? Everybody work on that right now, right down in that place, what my life was like before I met Jesus. Okay, just look up here at me. You may not be finished, but that's okay. You've got a good start at that. Some of you, if you're like me, you may have been saved when you were young. And one of the pitfalls that we fall into is thinking that because we were maybe saved when we were a child, that we don't have a real testimony. We think about the person that survived the plane crash or overcame some disease or came out of drugs or crime or a prison testimony, or all we think this about this powerful testimony. The testimony is powerful because the gospel is there in it. And let me just remind you of something, that we fall into a trap here. Listen carefully. We fall in trap that maybe you were 7, 8 years old and you can't even remember all the details of what happened at that exact time. And we get the idea that, well, you know what, at that time, we didn't have a lot of experience, that child is really not a sinner. Hey, listen, the Bible teaches we're all sinners by nature and by choice. And when Jesus shed his blood, let me tell you, he shed his blood for the sins of that 8-year-old as he just did for the worst murderer or drug dealer or terrorist that has ever lived on the face of this earth. It's the same blood. It's the same sin. And the truth of the matter is, the testimony of Christ coming to Christ early in your life is a powerful testimony. Because let me tell you, we want people to have the opportunity to live for the Lord as long as they can possibly live. I'm not saying that we push that with children when they're too young or do not understand, but I'm saying, listen, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice if we're saved as early as possible because we want to them to have the opportunity. We want to have the opportunity for them to live godly lives. Now, in the second part of this testimony, we look down here, how I came to accept Jesus into my life. This is the linchpin. This is where it turns, okay? This is a very important part because there are some things in here you need to get very clear. You've shared with them what your life was like before you came to Jesus. And so how did I come to accept Jesus in my life? Here's an example. Here's mine. He said, in church, I'd heard the pastor tell stories of how Jesus died on the cross. I was 8 years old, but I knew I was already good at doing wrong. I knew how to lie. I knew how to be selfish, to be disobedient, to be disrespectful. I was a problem. And when I asked questions of my parents, they took me to see my pastor. And he shared with me that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected from the dead. And on that day, I accepted Christ into my life. Now, that's exactly how I came to Christ. It is very simple. It is not exciting, as the world would say that. But it's clear. Now, what is it that is most powerful about that? We have a tendency to want to share experiences. Your life is interesting. Some of you think you don't. You think, man, I've got nothing to share. Yes, you do. Your life is interesting. But let me tell you what is important here. What is important here in this part of the outline is getting the gospel in there. The gospel has power. And so we want to make sure in this part of the testimony, we get the gospel. You say, well, what is the gospel? We've looked at it again. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 3 and 4. We'll put that up the screen. I want us to read this together because it's important. This is what needs to be in this part of our testimony. Read this with me now. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That is what the Bible says. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that Paul gives. And so in this part of your story, As you're sharing your story, you want to make sure that the gospel gets there. You might have had some type of exciting event. It might have been very unusual. It might have been different. It might have been brought on by a crisis. That's fine. But it is most important that you get the gospel. You want to make sure that you get the death, burial, and resurrection there wherever you possibly can. Because the gospel is so very important. What the Bible teaches us is that the gospel has power. Now, your story may have interest in it, right? And people may look at that and say, I'm interested in that. But when they hear the gospel, the Bible tells us that they respond to the power of the gospel, because it has power. On the scripture there, we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Read this with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, we've had a problem, because many times we have been ashamed of the gospel. Not we're not ashamed of that, technically speaking, but if we don't know how, that's the result. The result is we become ashamed of the gospel. We don't share the power of God. We have the greatest news. Right now, you have the greatest news that anyone can possibly hear. That they don't have to go to hell, they can go to heaven, that they can know God personally because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So every time you want to get the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, you don't have to go there and say, you know what? The Bible teaches us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he died on the cross for our sin, that he was buried according to the scriptures. No, you don't have to read the scripture or even quote the scripture. But you need to get those three parts in there. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That we know that he died on the cross for our sins. We know that he was buried. And we know that he was resurrected from the dead. That's the essence of the gospel. And what the Bible teaches us is that that has power. So you make sure it's there. Now, this is a place where you need to remind yourself, this is where practice, paying attention to details. This is a very valuable time for us. Hey, I want to tell you, we did some of this. We did it in a lengthened version a couple of weeks ago. You said, well, why are we doing that again? Because we need to. Because you need to, and I need to. And the more we think about it, and the more we do it, the more we practice at it, the better we get at doing it. And we're able to put that gospel in there, mold it in there with the details of our story. And we're telling a story that no one else can tell. You become an author. And you have a message. You have a message. Someone was asking me this week, and they said, you know, how does someone get people interested in a book? They were talking about writing a book. How do people get people interested? And I said to them, you have to have a message. We're talking about a message. A message that burns in our hearts. We know will make a difference. And will touch the hearts and lives of people. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give you another couple of minutes. And I want you to write down in that little space there. You've got about those six lines. And I want you to write down briefly, succinctly, but clearly, make sure you get the gospel in there, okay? How you came to Christ, okay? How did you come to accept Jesus in your life? I want you to do that right now. I want you to do that, and when you finish, then you look up at me, but I want everyone to write that in your outline right now, okay? Would you do that? Go right ahead. Okay? Now that you've done that, I want you to move on with me to point number 3 down at the bottom of the page. What is my life like since Jesus came into my life? Now, for some of us, this may be a short period of time, if you've been a Christian only a short period of time. But for some of us, it may be very long. You're covering a lot of stuff. And there's a lot for you to cover. But what you want to show is that Christ has changed your life, and that you found Him to be faithful, and that Christ has made a difference in your life. Here's an example from me. From the time I invited Jesus into my life, I felt safer and I felt more secure. I enjoyed my life in high school and college. I met my wife, Laura, after I'd been out of graduate school for a year. I was interested in her immediately. It took her a lot longer. We got married, and we've had a great life. It'll be 40 years this year. There have been challenges, but nothing was compared to what we felt when we lost a grandson just over a year ago. I never knew that you could hurt like that. And I don't know what we would have done. It was clearer than ever before what a relationship with Jesus meant to me. We believe it. We believe it when He says that He will not leave us or forsake us. Now, hey, I've lived a long time since I became a Christian. All right? And so you take that, boy, I'll tell you what, so much of my life, you just bore them to death. But what you want to do is you want to tell them how Jesus Christ has made a difference. Here's what you want to do. One of the things that you want to do is you want to tell them how Christ made an immediate change. Now, not everything happens then. As you know, growing as a Christian, when you come to know Christ as Savior, and I've said this to many people many times, sometimes receiving Christ, inviting Christ in your life, is an emotional experience, but not always. Many times it's not. It's a growing process. It's a relationship. We're not perfect. We're changed, but we're not perfect. There's a lot of stuff we take care of. There's a lot of stuff in my life that I still work on as a follower of Jesus. I've not arrived, and I see it every day. I discover things about myself that I just haven't paid attention to for years. But you need to give some what happened immediately. I was as a child, because fantasy was a big part of my life. It was important for me to know that, and it was confirmed in my church that when you came to know Christ, that your salvation is secure, and so you change. And then you talk about other things that happen in your life. Perhaps there has been insecurity. There's been loneliness. There's been hurt. There's been tragedy that's happened in your life. And how has the Lord been with you there? Maybe you've been challenged as a parent, or you've had a struggle in growing. But now what you have is you have a way to tell your story. And you need to have this. It's like a toolbox. You have the tool. It's a multiple tool, folks. It's a tool that can be used in many different ways. It can be used in just so many different ways. And so now you hone that testimony down. Now, here's what I want to do. I want somebody, and preferably, as Dennis says, I want somebody who's just, you're not one to speak in church. You're not one, maybe you've never done that before in your life. But I want somebody to stand up where you are, and I want you to just read what you wrote. I'm asking a lot here, but somebody can do that. Who'll do that for us? Just stand up. We don't want you to explain it. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. We're not going to check punctuation or anything like that, okay? So stand up where you are. Who'll do that? Yes, ma'am. Yes, I want you to read.
Okay.
Tell us who you are.
I'm Cheryl Hamilton. I was born in Oklahoma and into a family where I'm kind of nervous.
Hey, you're doing great.
It's kind of a Leave It to Beaver type family, you know, very nice atmosphere. We went to church and Sunday school. I was baptized at 9, grew up and went to college, got married, had 3 children, taught art for 10 years and started a mural business. And during my time painting someone's mural, someone invited me to BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. And So I went, and it was the first time I'd always read my Bible, but this was the first time I really delved into the Word, and it suddenly became alive. And Christ came as the Lamb of God. I realized that, and he was crucified and died and rose on the third day, and I realized I was worthy of death and that he had taken my sins away. And I asked him to make me his vessel to use for his purposes, and he did. And even though problems still come, I have a rock to stand on. When I'm fearful, he is there to comfort me. He guides me into greater understanding and leads me with his righteous right hand.
Amen. Amen. That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Man, that's tremendous. Oh, well, time for one more. Someone else. Anybody? Yeah, right here.
All right, this is point two, right?
No, this is the whole thing.
Oh, okay. I was born in Conway, South Carolina. My mother took me to church, and later Daddy got saved. We were active in church and had a close extended family. At a revival when I was 8, I heard about hell and how I would go there without Jesus. He died for my sins, was buried, and rose. I believed it and wanted to go there and did not want to go to hell. I asked Jesus to save me.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Hey, listen, folks, let me tell you. Amen. That's right. That's right. Everyone has a story. Let me tell you something. And I appreciate these folks sharing. But let me tell you what happens here. You have that story. If you take what you have written, I'm not telling you to do this. Don't go out of here. All right. Don't go out of here and say, go in there and hey, let me just read this for you. I know I asked you to do a lot right there. But I'll tell you, if you were to, God would use it. God would use it. Because his hand is on it. So you take that. You can't make a mistake. You cannot make a mistake. You're telling your story. You are the expert. You are the world's foremost expert on what happened to you in Jesus Christ. You can't mess up. It's impossible. When you tell your story, when you get the gospel in there, and it makes a huge difference to you. So I want you to continue to work on that. And those of you that are doing that, you need to continue to work on that story. This is a great exercise for you to do in your life. Now, I want you to look at the next page. And as we go briefly here, I want us to talk about some openings. Some openings to share your testimony. You look for these opportunities. You know, we've said to you this week, hey, listen, you need an opening. I want you to go to work or go to school. Say, we're doing this thing in our church. We're doing this thing in our church. And they asked me to do it. Would you listen to me? Would you let me do this with you? That gives you a way. It gives you an opening. But you're not always going to have that. You won't be able to say that next week or next month. So therefore, we need to look for openings to share our testimony. And let me give you four suggestions here. And I want you to understand, I want you to underline the first three, the word listen. Number one, listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll do this, this will automatically hit a key in your life and you'll know exactly what to say when someone has an experience like you've had. And many times it could be a good experience, it could be a bad one. Maybe it was divorce in your family or aging parents or rebellious children or a job situation that you have. But you're in an experience and you have a situation where you have the opportunity to share the gospel. Recently when we lost our dad and my sister lost our dad, we had an opportunity there. Because as it was getting close and the doctors were talking to us about prolonging this, they didn't know that we were Christians. My sister and I are from out of town. And we were able to sit down with numerous physicians and nurses. And what we would sit down with them and we'd say this, trying to use this experience, because they dealt with people like this all the time. And said, and I said on a number of occasions, listen, we're followers of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. And my dad's a Christian. And so as we look at this situation today, we're not afraid. Because you see, he's a follower of Christ. And we believe in what the Bible teaches, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected. And my dad had invited Jesus into his life, as we have, and he's going to be in a better place. He's going to be in a better place. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in a situation like that, almost everyone says they're going to be in a better place. But many of them are not going to be. Not if they don't know Christ as their Savior. You can hope that and want that. Some of you need to think about that today. The only way that you go to heaven is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have that experience, when you experience someone that has gone through a divorce or a particular illness, cancer, rebellious children, job loss, whatever it is, how can God use that experience? Number two, number one says listen, and underline that word listen. Number two, listen for people sharing emotions like yours. We are an emotional people. Do you know that Americans live on the basis of feeling? Every marketing campaign in America today is based on touching your emotions. So when you listen and you understand the emotions of those around you, it gives you an opportunity, a platform to share the gospel. Might be that somebody's dealt with fear or depression or loneliness or insecurity or hurt. Or anger. This is one of those places where when you can identify with that. You know, you could never say, and I would never say, I dealt with two or three people in a loss yesterday. And I said to them, listen, I would never say to you, I know how you feel. Because no one knows exactly how someone else feels. I never say that. But you can identify with them when you have experienced the same type of thing. When you deal with, I've had anger issues in my life. Yes, it's been a problem. This has been an issue with me. Or perhaps I've talked with a lot of people over the years that have attention disorders and that. So, yeah, I know what that's like. So, but you know what? When somebody else doesn't understand, you know what I found? I found that the Bible teaches me that Jesus always understands, and I have that relationship with him, and I can always trust him. So when you look for the emotions in the people around you, thirdly, listen or look for opportunities in current events, whether it's terrorism or it's tragedy. I'll tell you a good one here in South Carolina. 2 years ago, when the church shooting happened in Charleston, what a terrible tragedy it is when those Christians were killed by that man who wanted to stir up nothing more than racial unrest. And they forgave him. I have used that, been able to use that on more than one occasion. Said, you know, I don't know how I would have done. Man, if I'd been my family member, I don't know how I would have forgiven somebody like that. But you know what? It reminded me. That's what Jesus did for me. Jesus forgave me. And I can only forgive someone when I have the power. This is great for someone who's got bitterness in their life. I can only forgive because Jesus helps me forgive. Because he died on the cross for my sin. Because he was buried. Because he was resurrected. And I have accepted him into my life. Now let me tell you, you look at these things, what you say is this. You know what, Mike, what you're saying to me is there is an opportunity everywhere. That's exactly what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not get the chance to share with everybody. You won't. You won't. The opportunity won't always present itself. But I'll tell you what, it presents itself a lot more than you think it does, than I think it does, and we don't take advantage of those opportunities. So we want to use them as best we can. We can share a lot more. There's one more fourth suggestion here is this. Make leading statements. Like sometimes you'll say, this is a good illustration of, boy, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Let me tell you, you can use that statement. You turn that around, don't ever say that again. Say, boy, you look at someone else and say, boy, hasn't God given to us a beautiful day? or when you're in a particular situation with a tough decision to make, man, you know what? I'm just so glad that God cares about everything in my life, or that I can trust Him. You make leading statements that can help open the conversation, because sometimes people will tell you about that. They will give you an opportunity what they do, so we can make leading statements. Here's what we need to understand. We need to pay attention, because ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people that you're going to see tomorrow, when they get up in the morning, they are not going to be thinking about going to heaven or hell. They're not going to be thinking about the Lord. Let me tell you what they're going to be thinking. They are going to be thinking about, how am I going to make it today? They are worried about that illness. What am I going to do about that child? What happens in my marriage? What if there is a layoff at my job? What about my finances? They are concerned. They are consumed with what is happening right now in their life. So we need to pay attention. And that's always, by the way, where Jesus meets us. Remember the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4? In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she comes to Jesus. And what did she come for? She didn't come for marriage counseling, and she didn't come for salvation. She came for water. All she wanted was water. She came to draw water. And so Jesus, in John chapter 4, he asked her there. He asked her for that drink of water. And several things happened right there. And he said, just give me a drink. Well, you know what happened? Jesus started right there where he was. I mean, it's as if Jesus takes a simple drink of water that he takes right then, and that he asks her for a drink of water. And he starts her at the water. And then if you follow the scripture, he takes her to living water. And then when she asks about the living water, he takes her to the concept of the Messiah. And from then he takes her to what her need is. Because the Bible said she'd been married 5 times and she was living with a man who wasn't her husband then. What did she need? She needed forgiveness, but it started with the water right where she was. You're going to run into somebody tomorrow. You're going to run into somebody right now. You meet them right where they are. And ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to look around for a theologian. You don't have to look around for a preacher or an evangelist or anybody else. You're going to look around and say, boys, they need to talk to somebody. Let me tell you what they need to hear. They need to hear your story. They need to hear what God has done in your life. Now, I want you to flip over here quickly on the bat. Let me just give you 3 little tips here on witnessing. Number one, it is different sharing your testimony in one-time meetings with regular friends and acquaintance. Sometimes you see somebody one time, like I mentioned on the plane. That's the only chance I'm going to have. But to other people you're with, that you work with, you're going to have time. You're going to have a number of opportunities. Sometimes, by the way, you can use opportunities to get in there. You can use what we talked about this week. Hey, we're doing this at church. I wonder if you'd let me share my story. Some of you would be at this point. We've been living, we've been going to work, going to school, and we don't live like Christians. Perhaps we need to come, and one of the things you just say, you know what, I I'm a believer, but I don't always act like a believer in that. I want you to forgive me for that, and I'd just like to share with you my story. Or thirdly, you'd start to make changes, and they start to see something different. It's different in the way you talk. It's different in terms of your priorities. You don't lose that temper like you once did, because you're asking God to help you. You're saying, Lord, I want you to take care of my temper, because I want to share Jesus with this guy, with this woman. That's what I want to do. And you work to do that, but it's going to be different. If it's only going to be one time, tell them everything you can. But if you know you're going to have, and I have a list of folks that I work on that have been something I've been working on for a long time, just take the opportunities that God gives to you. Number two, expect mixed results. Now, understand, our success is not based on our batting average. There are going to be some times that we win and sometimes that we don't. And that's clearly Acts chapter 17, verses 32 and 34. they're going to put that up on the screen. I want you to read this with me. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear again." But some men joined him and believed. That's exactly what happens in the New Testament. Some rejected it. Some wanted to hear more about it, and some believed. That's exactly what is going to happen to us. But we have to understand is, when we share the gospel, it doesn't matter how it happens. When we share the gospel, listen, you've been successful. You've been successful. You have done what God wanted you to do. Hey, listen, what happens is up to God. It's not up to you. It's not how good you are. It's all about your willingness to do that. Point number three, remember, inviting people to church is good, but it is not going. Hey, listen, the Church of Jesus Christ, a tool. We want everyone here we possibly can. They have to be here eventually, because here is where you build disciples. It's more than just having someone pray a prayer. It's helping them grow in the Lord. That's what we do. But you can't do that until you go, until they hear the message. There are a lot of people that you'll meet that they'll never live in this area. They'll never live here. They'll never be around here. They won't have that opportunity. But you can sure still share the gospel with them. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see how important it is? Do you see how critical it is? Listen, God, listen to me. One of two things happens in here today. Listen carefully. Every single person in here fits into one of these two categories. Every single one. Number one, you have been reminded. When you look at this, I'm not sure I'm there. I can't say for sure that I know Christ as my Savior. You can't go through something like this and not be reminded of that. And my friend, God brought you here today that you might come to know Christ as your Savior. That you put your pride aside and you'd put your ego aside and you'd say, "Lord, I want to nail this down. I don't want to have any questions about this anymore. I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ." So you're a person who needs to make that decision, needs to take advantage of that opportunity. I'm not going to live with those questions. I'm never going to worry about what happens at death again, because I want to know Christ as my Savior, because He died on the cross for my sin, because He was buried, because He died on that cross, and God raised Him from the dead. And because He has eternal life, I will have eternal life because I have accepted Jesus into my life. That's the first group. Second group are those that know Him, and you must discover just how powerful you are. How powerful you are. Because the Holy Spirit of God gives you the opportunity. And you don't have to be afraid to go anywhere. You go only to please Him. You don't have to be afraid of being stumped or confused or anything. You tell your story because you're the PhD world-class expert on what God has done in your life. Every person here is in one of those two places. My prayer is that you'll know which one's which and you'll take the appropriate action. One, you might give your life to Christ today and say, "I want to know Him as my Savior and as my Lord." Not about a church. It's about your relationship with Jesus. And the second group is that no longer am I going to live in this fear, as we talked about last week, but the Lord has given me the opportunity to share the gospel with the people around me. And I'm going to begin to look for those opportunities. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before You, what a great truth this is. What a wonderful reminder it is of what You have done for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, there is no reason for us to live in fear or uncertainty. I pray for those that are here today, Lord, that have heard the gospel, that they'll come and give their heart and life to You. Lord, I pray for others, believers, that will see themselves for the first time as a person of influence and power, not because of who they are or what they've done or what they've experienced, but because Jesus lives in them and they have the opportunity to share that message with those around them. Lord, use this time of invitation of decision. We've got some decision to make. And Lord, but thank you that we have the confidence that is in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. In just a moment, as we have a time of invitation, some of us will be here at the front. I'd invite you to come to the balcony, the main floor, wherever you are, and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's some of you here and say, you know, I know what I need to do. I know exactly what I need to say. But I'll tell you, it's hard for me to get started. You want to come and pray with one of these ministers? You want to come to our prayer rails? You want to say, Lord, give me the strength to do that. Perhaps you want to unite with the church. We open the doors of this church. However God leads you and directs you, we invite you to come today. As we stand and as we sing together, would you come right now? Would you make that decision for Him?